Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Parapod. Thank you all for supporting the last episode. Do you know Luke Joyce? Do you know who that is?
No.
Had him on. Luke's going to be pissed. He does TikTok content, wears like a blue jacket, does all the window washing. He's like an entrepreneur, he does all the window washing stuff. But thank you all for supporting the last episode. Everyone really enjoyed it. Obviously, Connor didn't.
I have to watch that when I go home now. We listen to that in the car going
home. I'm not starting a beef, but like Luke is pissed. I do a little bit of research on all my guests and try to see like previous podcasts they've been on. I saw you were on two very different styles. You were on Everywhere We Go.
Yep.
And then you were on Hard Chats and Hard Hats.
Yeah.
Very, definitely. Very different vibes.
Yeah. 100%.
You had like, on Everywhere We Go, can't have your woman's name on the top of my head, but she got in there with you.
She really did. She went deep on me.
Did you know that was coming?
Yeah, because I had to look at her page and see what she did before.
Is she like a relation to like, did you know her or family?
No,
or anything like that?
She's actually related to Darren.
Oh, fair fucks.
Yeah. No, she really went at me. I thought I was in trouble for the whole podcast.
And she did, funnily enough, it was interesting to see, like, obviously the Hard Chats one, like, I could get fuck all out of that. Like,
it was a bit of crack.
I'm not quite sure what he's fucking chatting about. That's just the lad's style. But then, on the other one, like when I'd love to finish somewhere in the middle, mm-hmm. a little bit of crack, learn something more about you as well. But I don't want to recycle the same questions. I'd love to give you some new aspects to go
Absolutely.
On as well.
I haven't done a podcast now. I think that was over nearly 2 years ago now. Anyway, as well, should it be year and a half, 2 years?
Oh Jesus, yeah. 10 months, I think it went up.
Did you go loads of scrolling through all the posts?
Oh yeah. I went back to your YouTube channel, man. Like it got real, like got very real. So I guess there's two questions. Number one, I'm very interested in what your day looks like. Day to day.
Yeah.
For example, what did you do today?
Today, woke up at 7:30 to collect Darren, to bring Darren. Darren had the dog last night. I got a new dog, Bingo.
Nice.
So he is a mini dachshund and he's very, very needy. So you can't leave him at home because I have another dog then as well. So I had to drop him to Darren last night, collect Darren this morning, collect the dog, drop the dog home, bring Darren into town back to the house. From there to Dundalk, I viewed a new unit up there in Dundalk. Jeez. The car hates me. The car despises me. From Dundalk back to the house, from the house down to Coolock Village, from Coolock Village then down to Clacknasty.
I'm fucking exhausted already.
I know, stop the thought of it now as well. And all the tolls as well. The tolls don't accept the phone tapping on it. Yeah. So we're scrambling in the car looking for change, nearly getting out of the car looking at the seats for change.
Digging in the back of them.
Oh,
like.
Nightmare. And then from there, then Clacknasty, went to Charlestown, recorded the video there, went into Dunn's, recorded a funny video in there. Mm. From there, then back to the house, to edit the video. The video's up.
I saw it.
And now I'm here.
You're like, it's mad to see. I think you said on the podcast, the Everywhere We Go one, you're really happy when you are able to just like control your day, zipping from place to place, listen to your own music and stuff.
Yeah.
Like you generally enjoy that. So even though it's mad stress, are you like, fuck, if this is my day today, it's still unreal?
Oh no, well, yeah, I genuinely moan 24/7. Darren's the one that says the blunt end of it in the car. I give out nonstop. There's traffic. Even me, it was like 2 minutes away from around the corner here. And I was like, I can't be late.
Yeah, the traffic thing would be wild. Like that would drive me mad.
Gets
so like if somewhere in the middle of town and it gets onto you, like, no, like I want to get out to, get me out to Swords or something.
Very
like,
rarely I'm in town and every time I'm in town, but like, get the dart in, save me the parking. I'm like, nah, I'll just drive in. But no, I'd be a moaner, no doubt about it, but I wouldn't change it for anything. Like I hate sitting at home. Even if I'm at home for 10 minutes, I'd stick on the telly. I wouldn't be watching telly. I'd be working on the phone or editing something or creating something and then looking for something to do.
Do you like to earn your relaxation time? Or you're like, so if you've worked your whole off Monday to Friday and then you get like a couple hours on a Saturday evening or Sunday evening, do you enjoy that?
Yeah,
or
like
you
I enjoy my time out and stuff like that. But even if I'm hungover or dying a slow death on a Sunday or something like that, I still have to do something. Mm. I wouldn't be those person that would be like, that type of person that would be able to just sit in bed all day and just feel sorry for myself. That would add to the hangover and everything else.
Are you one of those people that like, if you're hungover, you're like, fuck man, someone else is working
hard. Exactly. Yeah. If you're not doing anything, someone else is working as well. There's plenty of competition about, so you just have to be on top of the game, you know, or else I should be smarter, record two videos the day before and hold on to one, but I'm just so, everything's now.
Yeah, you know? we had Luke Joyce on, as I said, and he was talking about holidays and booking holidays, and he was like, man, I hadn't enjoyed a holiday my first 6 years in business or whatever, so I'd just be away and someone would text me, this gone wrong, I'm off my phone the whole time, and now he hired a GM and it was his first like enjoyable holiday last year. So it's just interesting to see how people can like...
When you pass over and it's so hard to let go of something, but once you do, I have a person kind of taking control of the buddy cup as well now for me, now a very close person to me, so I trust her an awful lot, but you have to let go to have some sort of time or stress off your back or to deal with stock.
You'll explode, man.
You can't be going everywhere. And I did it for so long and I was like, oh my God, I'm like absolutely exhausted. I've no time for anything.
And do you kind of learn like where you're most valuable then to yourself? Like where you're good, where you're bad. Do you know what I mean? Like what, like you're obviously killing the content, marketing, all that kind of stuff, but there's other parts to running the Buddy Cup and stuff, stock inventory.
Oh yeah,
kind of
definitely.
Things, you know?
The Buddy Cup has kind of fell behind and that's being brutally honest. It has, but it's just came with so much pressure on the food side of things. And I adore doing the food things. I've kind of thrown a blind eye to the Buddy Cup. Mm. Now, everything's going well there. It's still great. I'm still getting a wage out of it. But I know that if I did put a little bit more time in, and I always say, I'd say week in, week out, I'm going to dedicate a full day to the Buddy Cup. But then it comes to that day and then there's six other things on that day, or I'm going somewhere else or I'm doing something else. And it's just like, I'll go there for 10 minutes, but I should be there for 2-3 hours creating videos for it, you know? So I'm like making the money doing the food, which is going into my pocket, of course. And then obviously creating the money for the business owner. But if I create the video for the Buddy Cup, how much more money could I get out of that? Or how much further could it go and expand, you know?
How, in just in terms of, this isn't even where I was planning to go, but the coffee industry in general, with load coffees all over the fucking place since COVID.
Yeah.
As an industry, how tough is it to kind of like pull a profit from that with like costs going up and all? Do people kind of, I've talked to a number of people who are in that industry or want to like bring that kind of part of their business. And then they're like, you get in there. It's hard to fucking find the profit in there when you're trying to be competitive with price and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
We only talked about this with someone today, saying it was $4.30 for a coffee or something like that. And it was just like an old flat white. Ridiculous. Air coffee is probably the cheapest in the market. And I probably should actually look at it and say, oh, my prices should go up here. But
I'm charging 45 cents a coffee here.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there's serious competition, especially in the likes of town. But I think the suburbs area, there's gaps in the market there where you can fill. And if you find something, like we started off by doing the hot chocolate, that's where we make all of the money on all of the sales would be on the hot chocolate. So, and then we kind of blossomed into more so coffee. And then it took my eye off with the hot chocolate. So I have to get back into that.
Well, like it's tough because obviously you went from the trailer situation.
Yeah.
Is that a much easier process than the brick and mortar, like an actual location in terms of like things to deal with? Yeah.
I was definitely lucky, obviously, with what was going on with COVID. So it's just like, I had nothing else to do. I had a bit of savings there, bought a trailer, started the name. I had no location. No staff, no experience in making a coffee. Didn't even, like, I was like, right, I'll just boil and just stir the coffee and I drink that. And then next of all, 1 to 2, and then into shops and then just building on it online. Like if you open a coffee shop now, you definitely have to have the marketing behind you and you have to have some sort of
it's everything, man,
vision.
Marketing.
Yeah,
now, yeah.
Like there's no point putting a radio ad out there saying a new coffee shop's going here, or even in a paper anymore. Like
people still do it.
I know, yeah. I know. Even in like the likes of the oil and stuff. Do you ever see the bins?
Yeah, I do.
€200 for a week there. Like, like what?
It's mad that we're in this kind of like phase right now where marketing is like totally changing. And like I'd say they're all looking at the fucking Buddy Cup being like, fuck, we need him.
Yeah.
Conor Ryan. We need someone who's just going to market the shit out of
this.
Yeah,
definitely.
Like,
and especially then if you do own it, it's a big then gamble. Like obviously people that set up a business and would text me to say like, I'm about to set up a food company. Can you come out and promote it? I'm like, well, I do it for a living. This is my rate. And then they're like, we don't have that sort of money. And then I always then kind of feel bad that like, right, I can't do it for nothing because it's my living. And then again, like if you look at it from the other like the shoe on the other foot, if I do come in and promote your food place, you're going to make your money back. But just the business owners don't kind of get that. But that's you have to let go of.
You're also like, it's kind of interesting. I'm in a similar, smaller boat than you are, obviously. But like the videography side, I have a load of mates who would come on and be like, hey, I can't really afford that. Can we do something about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt I'm semi undercutting all the clients that I have
that
do pay me.
Yeah,
so like
yeah.
What's the premise I'm setting if I'm doing you a favor? Like where's the line there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's so interesting. Everyone's like, there's this weird buzz online about people not wanting people to make money online and kind of like, why aren't you doing it just for the love of it before you realize, lads, there's wages to be paid. There's rent to be paid, all those kind
exactly.
of things.
Exactly, yeah. You want to invest in new equipment as well then, you know?
You
want
to make the thing bigger. You want to open another location. There's more fee, more people come on, more wages, all those kind of things. There's tax. People love to have them on. We'll chat about that later. I did a big dive in your social media, as I said, and one of the videos that like might have been your first video was you surprising your ma when you got home. Do you remember the one
from Canada?
Yeah. And like obviously straight from that, like off the bat, it's clear you're extremely close with your parents
definitely.
And your ma in particular.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of when you posted that first video, was the hope you're like I'm going to be a fucking YouTuber, or was your hope? Did you always see social media as a way to promote business as a marketing tool, like down the line?
Always seen it as business side of things.
Fuck, really?
Definitely.
It's interesting.
Always,
yeah.
Always seen it as business side of things. Always seen it as sales, promoting, advertising, marketing, always seen it as that. But obviously with the YouTube side of thing, it was very hard to get that across. So the YouTube was just kind of like, that was like a passion or like a side thing to be kind of doing. Yeah. So,
but still building your brand, do you know
absolutely.
What I mean?
It's another avenue as well. And if you're not involved in all of these avenues, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, like you're missing the corner to be covering that's going to come across all of them.
You'll be left. You'll be left behind.
Exactly. Exactly.
So when you're first starting the YouTube and you see like it, was there anyone? Any Rob maybe?
Definitely Rob. Rob.
Sick of talking about Rob in this podcast. But real is he inspired fucking you're half the country.
Yeah.
I wish.
His mate Max Tuning as well. I used to watch his vlogs. Yeah.
I still watch Max.
Yeah. I couldn't find it. That's funny enough. I remember the second name there. I couldn't remember a second name a while back, and I wanted to see how his Sour Strips were doing. I used to be hooked on that.
Blowing up, mate. Yeah. They're doing. He puts up tweets all the time about how many they've sold, and he was like, "We did 250,000 units over last weekend, like the holiday weekend." So like,
yeah,
Sour Strips is going to be like the brand. It's crazy, like that. It just like.
And I used to always watch that, and then I'd be thinking to myself, like getting the Subway then to work on that. Like, what ideas can I bring out? Like, you know. Mm. And I was like, side strips or something completely knocking him off.
There's no limit. Thing about like marketing now and products with influencers is there's no line with anything.
No.
So like you could get into, I'm going all backwards on my questions, but this is interesting. What other industries do you find intriguing? Not necessarily that you'll get into, but is there other industries you look in and you're like, it's an interesting one I could fit into?
The e-commerce as well, an awful lot I've been thinking about. You know, I'm doing a course starting next week in UCD. Mm. It's for Photoshopping and like all about Adobe and learning how to edit and create graphics and stuff. That's something I always wanted to do. Mm. That side of things as another business, to be able to create graphics for people. Mm. I'd love to learn how to use the camera then as well. Mm. And then I feel like down the line then, if I have the camera kind of sorted where I can take proper professional photos of food, have the graphic design, and then create some sort of marketing agency whereas like I could create proper photos for your food and then I'll give them Instagram photos
The whole process.
But as a side hustle sort of thing, I've tried everything else and it's been so many failures as well. So I've tried T-Whitening as a business. I've tried my own clothing as a business. Both failures, no problem. I think everyone that's setting a business up has to stumble across failures to keep moving on.
All you know? Business is right now is fucking failing.
Yeah, it's trial and error. But it's the fact that you don't give up and always have something else in the back of your mind or else just not. It's weird, like not give 100% to one thing. Mm. I don't think you should do that nowadays. I think you should give yourself multiple different avenues to kind of go down to make sure you're covering it all off because there's so much going on, you know? It
changes so fast.
Exactly,
That's been the kind of mental one is like the industry's changing so fucking quickly. So yeah. I'd rather be in your boat and have a number of different projects you're looking at, then go all in on one, and then TikTok gets banned tomorrow, and you're like, what the fuck have I done? Which is, man, like, people are joking with that, but that's very, that could be.
I know, my dad tells me all the time, what are you going to do when TikTok and Instagram and all goes? I was like, I haven't a clue.
Well, even you saying there that you turned around a video same day, so like, you can go into someone and be like, hey, we'll have this up in 2 hours. Even being able to offer that, like, I do videography for a business, and like, a lot of companies are looking for people like you who can make UGC content of a good standard really quickly, understand the trends, and like, you're able to offer that. So like, even when, like we get grief online, like obviously I get fucking hate comments and shit as well, I see your value so much from when I watch you do it, because I understand a brand that opens a fast food place, no marketing, two blokes trying to like do something with food, don't know where to start. Bringing someone like you in who can hit so many different, you can do a food-based one, you can go in, you can talk to them about their marketing strategy, all, and now if you hone that with graphic design, videography, like you'll be an all-in-one.
And content then. So my idea, I actually won't give my idea away. Jeez, no.
Let me just get a pen.
But definitely, and there's so many people doing so well at doing their own things as well. And you'd look at them and say, I'd love to do something like that. But sometimes you have to kind of step back and say, no, they're in their own lane as well. You don't want to be just going after that because they're doing very well. You know, we have to, like I'm doing this, I'd say food reviewing, like I'd say 10 years now nearly. I don't know. When I was in Toronto, I started doing it. That was 6-7 years ago. So I always had a passion for it anyway as well. But everyone just needs to start at the bottom anyway and work their way up.
Do you have, I shoot a series at Wheel Up. Don't know if you know, have heard of it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You come up a number of times with different guests we have on that show when we're just chatting about the industry or whatever. Always incredibly positive.
Happy days.
Thomas Cardy. Talked very highly of you, Mark O'Neill, and then we just had we obviously did one with Jamie Goonery. So your name comes up incredibly positive across the board.
They're all legends, yeah.
But there's this interesting thing, and I'm kind of learning it now as well, particularly on TikTok in Ireland. In order for videos or anything to do well, it seems when something's about to kick off and do well on my channel or something's about to gain more views, that's when a huge amount of negativity comes onto my page for whatever it is. It's either the guest or they think I'm a posh cunt or whatever it is. Not wrong.
I was going to say you're very posh.
Am I?
Yeah,
do I come across posh.
Or else it's just through the headphones here.
Darren, let's fucking fight. Darren's here, by the way. I love that. I love getting like grief like that. I think it's hilarious because like our friend group, I can take the piss out myself, no problem. But it makes me upset when I see like ton of faceless accounts leaving real negative shit, being like, mate, what is your fucking
My block list is good. Crazy.
What do you think the mindset, like, obviously I just think, Jesus, mate, how fucking shit must you be, your day be going to be like, you fucking...
No, I genuinely just, if I see something like that, I don't even give it a second thought.
Yeah.
Blocked, gone, good luck. And then they have to create another account. The effort of that to be blocked again.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, don't give up the day job, pal. Like,
it's my, obviously, you've been in it way longer than me, so I'm in like the... Not in, and we're not on the same level, but like just to get some of those come in, I'm still learning how, what's the best way to react to that.
Just don't engage, because that's what they want to annoy you. And if you do engage, they're laughing, they're just saying, I'm about to get into him, I'm about to get into this posh cunt.
And do you, this is, I've heard this across the, don't call me back.
Beep.
I'm a fucking Liverpool, imagine, no. But I have, especially with the old lads chat, all I ever hear is, I've never had someone come up to me in person and be like, fuck you.
No.
I dislike, I'd almost back that more.
Yeah.
You come up to me and be like, I have a genuine issue with you, but it's just mad that like, if you can take that away, I've never heard anyone, even like Wheelo, Thomas Cardy gets mad grief, which is like, mad to me because he'll fucking flatten you. He will kill you. But it's just mad to think, it's obviously you're more experienced in it, but in terms of dealing with the negativity and stuff, it just...
We were talking about something today though as well. We were out with Nasty and we're just explaining that like the amount of people that look down on Irish people, and in the UK, everyone supports each other over there.
Mm.
It's weird, and it's just like everyone just be so jealous about everyone else and just gives everyone grief nonstop. And I'd say everyone that's like online and an online presence, Jay Kavanagh, Ben, Nasty, myself, Wheelo, I'd say everyone gets it.
Bearpod,
of course, as well. I can't forget that. Like, but Kieran O'Connor did a podcast. Do you see that podcast? No. Do you follow him?
No.
He owns Soul Cafe and Soul Food as well. And he texted me today saying he did a podcast and that he said he's never done anything like that before, and the backlash and grief that he's getting off the back of it. And he's like, it's getting to me all day.
Yeah.
I don't know, for such a positive person and a smiley person that's doing so much for charity. Mm. He does all these swim runs. He was in the paper doing all this. I think it was for PA the House, wasn't it? Like, he's such a nice...
What a prick. Like,
how on earth could anyone like say anything smart about this person?
Fuck,
like,
you changing the community for the
exactly,
better.
Exactly. Like, you know, but the fact that he said that, I was getting to me, I was like, Jesus, like, if only people knew what, like, if you didn't have thick skin, what it's actually doing to you on the other side of the screen. Like,
well, it's interesting you brought up, you mentioned a load of people there, all blokes.
Yeah.
There's something, do you feel like, especially in Ireland right now, female influencers, cruising it, big brands, all the big supporting, you go girl, and then the blokes... It's either if when you're small and like one of the people, they love you to bits. And then as soon as you get in and you've done a fucking, I don't know, like you get in with a few bigger brands like Nasty with Abacababra and stuff, then it starts coming in. It's like they don't fucking try and get higher up than us. Anything like that. Do you think that's the case with like male and females? I seem to see females doing like huge, like Penny's collabs, like all these huge brands are working with the girls and it's all positive. I don't know what that is, but it does seem to be the case.
Just think, I think girls are just way more supportive of girls.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think lads are too, like, I'm too hard of a lad to support him and all. Let's just call him something online here off my fake account.
But I have a Steven Gerrard tattoo. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. What's the here? It's mad. I wonder if, even when you said there, like, where's your, especially on the social media, everyone wants like as much access as possible now. Like, and like people are putting their whole lives online.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously in the past you would put like relationships online. Have you learned now that you're like, there's a line?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've really tailed it in. I actually don't know if I've just tailed it in or just massively matured, to be honest with you, as I've gotten older. But yeah, no, I saw the pros to it, most definitely, to grow the following on that side of things. But comes with so much negatives as well. So much negatives. And the negatives speak way louder than the positives. You know, it's just when something goes wrong, everyone has to be involved. Mm. Everyone has to know why it went wrong, where it went wrong, and like, why did we not see it go wrong? Like, nearly, like, do you want to send to them?
Why didn't you vlog this?
Exactly, you know, but
vlog the arguments.
Yeah, you know, I've just cut it back and reeled it in. Obviously, I have all the Woody Cups in chopped as well. So Brian Lee had helped me mentor that out of what I was doing, you know, and just stick to it as like your business, like your life, your income is through Instagram.
Mm.
It's not your personal life, you know, so that's why I've cut it back. Now I actually kind of struggle a little bit now to kind of go on the stories and talk naturally without it being about work.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm not even arsed, you know, like,
and
a little bit.
People kind of talk about that. That's the key thing with influencers, is giving a little bit.
I know,
to
it
like
is.
Let them in.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's
and you
tough
have
to find
the balance.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And you, at least with your work content, like, it's fucking delicious food.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Like, people are keen on that no matter what.
Yeah.
But if you're doing like mentoring shit, it's all business or like fitness stuff, they'll bastards for just plugging the shit out of stuff the whole way through, and there's no like depth with it.
Yeah,
so
I no guess, crack.
Yeah, there is no crack.
No diss on Jamie there, by the way. Actually, yeah.
No, Jesus Christ, no. Obviously not. Like, when you had obviously with relationships, are you single right now?
No.
No, you're in one?
I'm in a relationship.
And you're like, I'm just going to leave that as is. And
as that. Yeah, full stop.
I love it. interesting. Going back to your family life early on, I was surprised and like impressed to hear that your parents actually fostered kids when you were born.
Yeah, we're actually speaking about this over on holidays as well, yeah.
I think that's like fucking wild. Yeah. Just in like a, it's just something you don't hear every day, especially in Ireland. But it's like,
is that extinct now or what's going on? No, like, well, you just never hear of it anymore.
Not big people lob a kid in now and again, but it's not, it's definitely, that's when I heard it, I was like, it's so fucking interesting just to hear that.
I was a mad LC.
Because I have my dad remarried and now I have my sister, my half sister, and she's an only child. And so we're kind of figuring out, I grew up with my brother, so we had a very different kind of childhood. What was growing up as an only child like in terms of your experience? Did you enjoy, did you feel like semi-loneliness, stuff like that when you were a lot younger?
I actually don't know if it was maybe me that kind of put the feelers out to probably foster, you know? Mm. Obviously me being lonely and stuff like that. And then when it came, by God, that I don't want anyone else in the house playing my games.
Yeah.
Don't touch them. Like, I'll be watching a film and he'd want to watch a film. The other room was like, no, I want to watch that film right now. Like, I'm watching. I was actually turning this one off to watch that film. Luckily enough, I live in a cul-de-sac, so there's plenty of kids outside. I was let out all the time. I actually was probably booted out the door saying, do not come back in until those streetlights come on, sort of thing, you know?
We had the golden era of childhoods now looking back. Like, that early, like, some mates might have a Nokia when you're 13, just playing football all day.
Yeah.
If you're looking for your mates, look for where all the bikes are.
Exactly. That's look like for that the football. Buzz.
Like,
there's not people now looking for where the vape smoke is and going for the vape.
Man, more and more, I'm like, Jesus, man. I remember being in my state and being like, lads, we're playing the fucking other state in football today.
Yeah.
And it's going to be crazy. And like, we'd all be fucking buzzing, walking over. That was the bit. And then we're like, early to bed, or then like lights would turn off, leg it back for fish fingers, back out again, football. And now it's all... If fucking 9-year-olds watching TikTok, looking at twerking videos and all, like, what is going on?
Kind of the goose jackets.
It's going to be very interesting.
Intimidating.
Yeah.
He's only crossed the road.
Don't, around here.
Yeah.
Even in like the subway, that like I'll be in line, the load of kids are coming up and go, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, kids are 10.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how this generation of kids grows up. And if, like, I know I couldn't have gone through social media. Like, we had Bebo and I couldn't handle that shit. Like,
I know.
Someone would leave, like, I don't think you're very nice. I'm not hurting you on Bebo. And I'd be like, Jesus.
I know. And I used to be such an addictive personality as well, or addictive mindset, whereas I want to collect things and score. So I always wanted my Snapchat score to be ridiculous, like, so like Snapchatting everyone and anyone and to get a Snapchat score. But I'm just touching on Bebo. I used to collect, you know, where you get your loves. So I think I had like, you know, on Valentine's Day it was unlimited loves. So I'd be sitting there with my mates collecting the loves up to like 40,000 of them. And then my ex at the time then hacked my Bebo and deleted it, and I was absolutely feeling. Imagine how heartbreaking it is. I had to start the loves from the bottom.
Yeah, and you lose your other half and all this shit. Like, it's
my other half, I haven't even gone. Like, remember all the pictures and
all the arrows you used to do? Like, you'd have like one bloke and you'd be like, best mate, I die. I had a few mates and I haven't talked to any of them in 10 years. So see you at the end, bro.
It's probably still like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I need to reach out to them. I do a little recoup. Like,
get them on the podcast.
Some wild characters, man. Really? When you look back at like your crew mates when you were younger, like a few of them, you know, when you run into a mate you haven't seen and like, 15 years at like a club and he's 28 now, and I was like, mate, I remember you when you were 15 and fucking pissed yourself on the green, and now like you're a fully grown man. Like, it's so interesting to see.
Text your vaccine, I'm gonna stab you the next time I see you.
Do you get I used to get a bit, man, I was terrified of confrontation when I was younger. Like, I remember there was a remember when people used to be like, someone would be like, yeah, by the way, I'm coming for you when I see you, and you get like that text through a mate. This guy's pissed off at you because you chatted to his cousin's girlfriend in touch. And I'm like, oh, I'm fucking dead. I can't go out. And now I'm sure with social media and stuff, that's just like 10 times more because you can get it whenever you want. It's fucking wild.
It's instant.
In terms of when they were bringing like foster kids in and stuff, how did they position that to you? Like, what was your understanding of that? Just, we have someone who's going to come and stay for a while?
Yeah, basically come and stay for a while. It definitely wasn't the full story anyway of kind of what was going on in their own home, you know? I probably would have went over my head anyway regardless. But I just remember the same person that we used to get. His name is Luke, and I think we got him 3 or 4 times. I can't actually remember. I know we did get other people as well, but Luke always comes to mind as well because I think we had him a fair amount of time, and he only actually lived down the road from the house that we're in right now. And the house that we're in right now, we're still in the same house. Like, still the same house. Just moved around.
Starts crying.
But no, I just remember them saying that we're just going to have someone staying here for a while. You have to be very good to him. You have to mind him, look after him. And I just remember the person coming in being so like just rattled.
Oh man.
Rattled. Yeah. Like, and obviously it's like it's like a puppy getting taken away from his mammy. Like,
yeah,
you know,
could you imagine just, reversing the situation? Like,
yeah,
and obviously this, at our age, you can kind of reflect, at the time, you're like, who the fuck?
Yeah, I know. So,
give him one of your football jerseys. Which one? No.
Yeah, which I know. One? I had to be nice because I actually seen the kind of the fear in him a little bit and just been like, he's getting dropped into a stranger's house here. You know, now obviously, I'd say my mom and dad had to go and meet his or whoever was dealing with the fostering and stuff like that to make sure it was suitable for the family and that. But when he came to the house, just seeing how shook and all he is, I did look after him for a while, but then I did the jealous side, then came out massively, you know. He had two beds in my room, he usually had one bed, so he was staying in my room. Then obviously the toys come into play.
Yeah.
So we'd have our own toys, but like he'd have his toys, I'd have my toys, my mum would be looking after him, and then I'd want his toys, so it was just carnage.
You gave him like a raggedy tennis ball.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have like Beyblades over in the corner. Like,
you can have this. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Looking back on it, it's mad that the amount of things that you forget when you're younger and you'd always remember that.
But it's such a, like, obviously a huge compliment to your parents to be like, a lot of people, especially right now as parents, will be so worried about, I need to just make sure my kid's all right. But the idea to be like, we have a loving family here. We have a great situation. I want to like help someone else who's in need and not even consider, I don't know, like bringing in another child of their own. Like, I think there's an opportunity to help someone here. Yeah. So like, it's just a lovely like sentiment to your parents, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, do you want to have kids? Do you see that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of get that buzz off you.
Adore kids. Yeah, adore them. I adore kids. I adore dogs. Yeah, I definitely would love to have. I'd have a huge family.
Like a little tribe.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, ducks and all, like walking around, everything out the back.
What do you think in terms of like timelines and stuff like that? Like, you know, when you're 14, you're like, oh, but when I'm 23, I'll be married with two kids. And then you get to 29, you're like, I don't know anything.
Yeah, we think about it quite a lot as of late. Like, but... nothing too soon. My biggest goal was to get the house sooner rather than later because I was doing quite well with what was going on. So if it was like, if I hadn't started to save to get that house, and that would have been serious pressure on myself now. Obviously, I'm 29 this year, 30 next year. So if I didn't have the house, I'd be like, God.
I heard in the last pod you were talking about the house. Has that been sorted now? You were talking about the shit show you were having trying to get a mortgage and shit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It was ridiculous to, as a sole trader, to get a house. Trying to save, you have to save for 2 years straight, the exact amount.
Yeah.
Everything. Everyone else, I think, has to save for 9 months.
Yeah.
And you have to show like it going out and out and out into the account, and you just can't touch it. You can't touch it once. You know.
It's mad in this world now, especially like if you have a. It's all very corrupt, and we're about to break for the first half. But I'm just going to.
It's half an hour already.
Yeah, man, it flies,
doesn't it?
You know the buzz, the tinfoil hat situation is like people are saying they want you in the shitty jobs working for someone else. You pay the amount of tax they want. You've no control over that.
Mm-hmm.
And to like deter you from being able to buy properties and all those kind of things, they kind of make it more difficult for self-employed people.
Definitely.
Would you agree? Like it's fucked to say, but it seems to be the case with everyone I'm talking to. People who have a ton of savings, good revenue streams coming in are the people struggling the most to get mortgages. It's fucking mad.
Yeah, but it's the saving sort of thing that you have to save. You had to, as a sole trader, you had to show how much your tax return would be. Your tax return had to match. Everything had to be in line. Like, there was no cool corners whatsoever.
No funny business. Like,
no, really wasn't.
No,
you know,
buys,
there's no point having all this cash sitting there. Makes no sense. You can't buy a house.
Well, I'm going to be living with my fucking parents forever.
we have a spare rent.
No, we've time. Fuck it. I'm living with my girlfriend up in a cottage in Rialto, only like 5 minutes
Rialto?
Away. I'm very posh. Fucking, it's a hard place.
Yeah,
is it? Only the toughest. Only the toughest can survive. The poshest thing. This will round it off nicely. The poshest thing happened to me today. My umbrella was stolen from outside the gym.
You have an umbrella?
I did have an umbrella. It was raining this morning quite heavily, and I don't want to walk over to the gym, get soaking wet. As you can probably tell, I work out.
And you put it down, and like when you put it down, shake it.
This is the poshest thing I've ever done. I left it outside, just having faith in humanity that no one's going to steal it, because I didn't want to wet up the inside of the gym reception and all. And it was stolen. Do you have people on the Irish TikTok scene that you're kind of watching right now and being like, yeah, they're doing a fucking good job? Like they understand the fucking game a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I like what everyone's doing, metal wise, especially. Well, so I wouldn't be looking at the girls doing what they're doing because they're in a different category altogether. But I love seeing everybody do well.
Yeah.
You know, I really do.
Who's doing well?
I think Nasty's doing extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bev Williams is doing extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jay Cavanagh is doing very well. I think Kieran O'Connor, who was talking about there, that owns Soul Foods, is doing extremely well. I hope not missing out on anyone. I think Wheelow's doing it very well. Jamie's doing very well.
Shout out Wheelow.
Okay. King Gaffo.
if you need me to straighten someone out, like, there's no worries. Are you actually speaking to straighten outs? We should get on a little like tag team for one of the UCC scraps. Me and you sort something out.
You'd box the head off.
Oh, you know, no, not me, not me. No, there's only one person on TikTok I'd scrap because I think it'd be hilarious. You know, Stillorgan School of Grimes.
Sam from Prism.
No. didn't want it. No, obviously not. We got to stick together. He's big. Is he a big fella?
What?
Is he a big fella? I've never met him in person.
I'm a little smaller.
Well, you fucking have it then. You're fucking dead, mate. No, but the UCC thing in general, the fighting, did you enjoy the experience doing
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, I enjoyed it, yeah. And it was great to have the whole show going to charity then as well. It was amazing. It was some set of 1,000 people there to watch me fall around the ring. Mental. Well, to watch everyone else fight as well before it. I thought it ran extremely well. Mm. There was no trouble at it, no nothing outside. Thoroughly enjoyed the training up to it.
Mm.
And then the night before, I was like, lovely, still really motivated. The morning I was out the back with the gloves on. Then
I'm an animal.
On the way there, I was rattled in the car. I was like,
You know he can handle himself a bit, like...
Ew.
Yeah, Ben.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. I knew going in there.
You were hoping to just stay at range?
Absolutely. I just wanted to not get knocked out. Yeah. No, I knew I was going to lose. Yeah. Ben's a boxer. Ben's fucking amazing.
What was the training like? Did you enjoy that process in the sport?
Yeah. So intense. It was nonstop. I trained 3 times a day. Crazy amount of training. I was ripped as well. Well, I felt ripped, you know, and even in your head, I felt really good about myself. So I keep saying I want to go back because I think I wish I started boxing when I was younger.
Yeah, no. Now everyone looking back at 28, man, I could have been a killer.
Yeah, I could have been unreal. Yeah. Could have been unbelievable. I just think the training side of it as well, it's so good for the head and you don't have your phone in your hand. If I go to gym, I spend more time on the phone than even if I'm on the treadmill, on the phone, you know? So I think when you have those gloves on, you can't do anything else and you have to be so clued in and focused. If you are sparring or if you're listening to someone, you can't mess up, you know? But
I think I have a glass jaw, so that's good. I've had my two fight experiences. Darren, you'll love this. I've had two fight experiences,
right?
Two physical altercations, and one was in Vancouver. One of my mates was getting kicked out of a frat party, and I was kind of like, "We're leaving." I'm very courteous. We're heading off, boys. And this small Indian man, just darts through the crowd from their side. And just throws a Hail Mary through three people. And obviously aiming for my mate who wasn't leaving. And it just in slow motion, it goes past him. And I just take the whole thing, take it. I was down 30 seconds. My mate's pulling me off. So that was one. Didn't get back at him. Very, very embarrassing. Just went down. They were like, man, he was it's 150 pounds. I was huge at that stage as well. He was like, no, you went straight down. And then, in Ionapa or in Eos, we went to an Irish bar. This guy gave me a dig. I again went down, sorry Darren, and got back up, turned around after he'd be crying or whatever, turned around, and then my friend had jumped in to beat the shit out of the guy, and I in my rage threw a punch and punched my friend, and he thought a girl had hit him. So, but if prison wants it,
or the fella that has the umbrella, if he wants to come and get it, just go to Rialto.
Oh, no, they're tough as nails. I could never steal an umbrella like that. The rashness. I think these guys are fucking criminals.
Good Ryder Cup one, I definitely want.
It was a good... It's my girlfriend's auntie's umbrella.
Oh, so,
I'm going to have to go buy... Where do you buy an umbrella? Where do you go?
I'd say in Rialto, you'd have to get a golden.
These are the questions. Just feel the rain. It's good for you. In terms of that as a concept, the UCC and stuff like that, do you think that'll continue to grow like Misfits and shit is in the UK? Or do you think it kind of needs someone to kind of take it by the reins?
Absolutely. I think Ben's done a great job with it. Ben's involved with a great crew of people out there involved in it. I just think that for it to take it a leap to a new level, I think they'd have to get people from the UK over. The Irish are going over and obviously Ben's on Misfits. Keith Burke is on Misfits now as well. But I think it's going in the right direction, most definitely. You know, I just think he needs to keep at it. And I know they're doing another one already, number 3. I think the other one, number 2, came very quickly around.
Yeah.
I think a little bit more space.
You've got to be able to build it as much as you can.
And build the hype a little bit more. I seen that they were doing face-offs. I thought the face-offs were going to be and then fighting in about 3 months. They're fighting the following week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what? No way.
Just get Wheelo in there. Throwing the big loopy jabs.
Or if King Gaffo finally wants to actually grow a set of balls and fight me, you know, that's the only person that I go back and actually want to get back in the ring with as well and fully dedicate training to.
Just snap that jaw.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Yeah, if
I
you
like
get it. Out of bed.
Yep. He's on next week. No, I've never spoken to him before. But yeah, if that's on, 100%, I'll come on undercard, no bother. I need some excuse to kind of tighten it up. The rig's getting...
I know, and especially if it gets to 6 weeks out and you're fighting in 36 days, you're 66 is 36, 42. Jesus Christ, yeah, 36. 6 days a week. Leave that out. But if you have...
Thanks, everyone.
If you have 6 weeks to train, you have no other excuses to actually get stuck in and train and just drop everything else and just get stuck in. So
we'll see what happens. I'm fucking game for it.
Yep.
Now, going into something Slightly, completely opposite. One thing that you brought up in the Everywhere We Go podcast, or she mentioned to you, is that you did a therapy session on Clontarf Seafront. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember in the podcast you mentioned you didn't enjoy it. I was just interested to see what were the aspects that you didn't enjoy? Was it the outside? Was it the person? Was it the concept of kind of openly just talking about your life to someone you've never met before? Like, what
I think
was it?
I think I was too young.
Yeah,
too young to do it. And believe it or not, since then I think I've gone to 3 or 4 different people, different therapists to talk to. 2 over the phone, 1 in person. And I just couldn't click with the person. Mm. And I just felt like it was going in the loop. And then like I've went to these a few times. I didn't cut it after 1. So I'd go a few times. No problem at all investing in it because it's hopefully something good for me would come out of it. But I just felt like that I didn't find the right person to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and over the phone was for me useless because it's over like the phone,
Zoom,
I'm on the phone.
It's like a Zoom meeting or something.
Yeah,
like,
but yeah. No, it wasn't even a video call. It was basically through the radio. At one stage, I was going through McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on a second there now. We're getting a coffee. Like, imagine me, like, look at this Lula.
Extra bacon, please.
Yeah. And sorry. I was like, I've ADHD and I keep making stupid decisions or I keep messing things up and I just keep just doing the wrong thing. And the next while I'm rolling down the radio and all in the background. Like, hold on, I love this song.
What do you mean there's no milkshakes? Sorry, 1 second.
I say your man thought it was an absolute head case. But that was kind of a bit of a dark time that I was going through myself. And I feel like I'm out of it. Anyway, in my own head. So I just feel like that when it does come to it again, hopefully when I do go back to talk to someone or do something like that again, I find the right person to talk to because there's nothing embarrassing about it. It's more so genuinely like, it's going to turn something that's anyway in your head negative into a positive.
I mean, I'm an emotional wreck. Like, it's crucial. Like, my family's extremely open when it comes to talking about like feelings. I see my dad cry twice a week, like over general bullshit. Like it's just, we've always been very open with our emotions. So like, I 100% see the value in being able to chat to someone.
Absolutely.
Especially in your boat, man. You see, you're experiencing shit that not everyone experiences in terms of fame, fucking people coming up and chatting to you, people having an opinion on everything. Like, it's important to have, I like the idea of having someone impartial that you can chat to. Mm-hmm. I kind of imagine like an older British woman sitting there that I can just chat to.
Exactly.
About, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And if I even found someone like that I could click with, I'd travel to that person to go to, you know.
But you see the value in it.
Yeah. Fair play to you talking to your dad and stuff like that anyway as well. I'm sure I was there from.
Yeah, he unloaded on me when we were younger. Like, we just had, me, my brother, my dad, like, went in from, we've somewhere between 17 and 19 turned into just like, oh, we're all best mates.
Ah, deadly.
There was never really for my dad like cracking the whip in terms of like discipline. It was more like, like, he goes out with my mates love him, like that kind of buzz. So so we've always been very open about channeling stuff like that. It's a nice thing to have. But I'll be going to therapy when I'm older, 100%. Gotta get the demons out. Like,
it's the pressure, I think, as well, in my own shoes anyway. That's I find it hard dealing with pressure. So if I have like a slow week or something like that, God, it could be just raining on me constantly. Mm. Like, and the sun could be splitting the stones, but I just feel so much pressure and I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I going? Mm. The world is falling down around me. And then once I sit down, take a bit of a breather, kind of like regroup or speak to someone, whether it's like I'm speaking to myself in the car, speaking to Darren, speaking to my dad, speaking to anyone that I know, basically, I just feel uplifted off the chest and away you go again, you know.
What kind of things do you do to relax when you're not working? Like, do you have activities you do to kind of, even if it's just walking in nature, shit like that, do you have things that kind of...
I actually, being brutally honest, I have nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. There's no getting away from it until it's done, whatever it was doing to me, you know what I mean? Like, there's just genuinely nothing that's going to solve that.
Do you keep like a semi-fitness regimen, stuff like that? Obviously, you're eating fucking mad grub. You need to have like some sort of fitness. You also have a metabolism of fucking God. Like,
really? A little bit of set of titties coming on me here.
Mate, if I was eating like you, this is my body eating semi-well. So like...
I try to train. Obviously, I do an awful lot of eating, but I do put it away. I put away a serious amount of food. Darren will back for me on that as well. I put away serious, because people are saying he doesn't eat all that. But no, I try my best. And if I do feel anyway sluggish about what I'm like, how I feel, and if I eat too much, I'd do a few press ups, you know.
gotta keep it tight.
I go on a few runs here and there to try regroup. I like to book things in advance, like a holiday, something to have to look forward to again. So you can't go away getting the pill with a t-shirt on, so I have to lose a bit of timber, you know.
What's your party buzz right now? Like, are you in a transitional phase between like do you still, did you when you were younger love a party? And is
absolutely
it kind of, yeah?
Yeah, love the party. Still do, but it's just kind of fizzling out more and more and more as I'm getting older.
Alcohol's killing you, like the hangovers and all that.
Hangovers, and even kind of the group of lads that we have, we don't go out as frequent. There was obviously a stage when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, where it was
23, 24.
23, probably up to 24, yeah. Like, it was every week, yeah. if not every second week.
A couple times a week. Man. Yeah. Back in college yeah. and all, it was it, like we took the piss. And yeah. like, but I feel
I
like...
I say you took pills there. I was like, what?
No, I'm taking pills. hi, Mom. No, there's something I'm chuffed to feel like I think I partied myself. I don't think that I left anything out there in terms of like, I don't think I missed the trip away. I've done the rotten 7 days in Ayia Napa and just like questioning your life. I've done like the Canada. I went obviously to Ireland, done festivals, all stuff. I really feel like I haven't missed any aspect of it apart from like my jaw swinging in Ibiza. This is the only place I've never been. I don't think I will go.
Mm-hmm.
But the other, like the areas, I feel like the party buzz now, I feel like it's just starting to, it's becoming less and less attractive to me now.
Yeah.
When you have a Saturday, Sunday off, spending the Sunday just in absolute ribbons, like it just doesn't make sense.
I know. Those Sundays and ribbons, they're not good for you. Mm. They're not. But I absolutely love a point. I'd love a point more so watching football now than staying out till three in the morning.
You're getting me going.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'd love to go for food and a few drinks and that. Now, sometimes it'll go touring south and you could be out on
home by 10.
Yeah, ish. But yeah, no, that'd be my sort of buzz now anyway. I wouldn't be going out and like, I can't remember the last time I was out in town on the night out. Genuinely cannot remember the last time I was out in town.
What do you, it's an interesting, I love to talk to everyone I have on about Dublin as a place and like as a city right now. In a weird little spot right now, Dublin, you just mentioned about going into town. Like what's your general feeling about Dublin and Ireland as a place right now to live?
I'm happy enough with it, to be completely honest with you. Yeah. But town-wise, on the other hand, I wouldn't go into town. Mm. I wouldn't be pushed to go into town, more so of like if what could happen in town. Mm. You always have that in the back of your head. My mom would probably say, be careful if you're going to town.
Yep.
But she wouldn't say, be careful if I was going somewhere else. Mm. You know, so that's like a thing that's in the back of my head always. Mm. Town as well, then obviously a nightmare getting a taxi home. Mm. The traffic around town, the roadworks and all, it's just, that's a shit show, genuinely. And that's why I don't even go to town to eat. You know, like I could go into town and spend a full day in there and record a few videos just like organically, but I just wouldn't want to go in there anyway because it's just all over the place. You know, there's too much going on.
Do you see it as the place you want to like raise family, live going forward, or do you like looking at Marbella and like winking at it or anything like that, or do you see Ireland as like home base forever?
I'd love to take the jump and I'd love to go to, like I lived in Canada for 9 months, wouldn't be rushing back to Canada because of the season sort of thing, but I'd love to experience Australia, whether it be for 2 months, 6 months, a year or so, but home is here. Yeah, home is here.
Are you, do you think because you were an only child that you ended up forging like much deeper friendships with your mates? Like they become
definitely.
Your siblings? Like
absolutely, 100%. You have a core group of friends. Shout out to the core four. Darren, of course. Darren, I'd be lost without Darren recording on a day to day.
That's Darren's role.
That's Darren's job.
Yeah.
That's Darren's full-time job.
Dazzler, like.
Yeah.
Because they have every single, I can't fucking listen to a voiceover without it be like, oh, shut up there, Darren.
Yeah.
Or like someone in the back, and I'm like, who is this mass stranger like coming in?
Yeah, we lost without Darren, wouldn't I? He's crying over there.
But it is, I'm sure like running the game by yourself, doing all that, it would get, like I even had, we had Cassie Stokes on one of the other podcasts I produce, and she shoots it on a tripod the whole time. She talks about the difficulties you can have with that when you don't. Yeah. Tough game.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Jay Kavanagh's videos?
Yeah, yeah.
Like how many times did he move that camera?
Casey Neistat, like.
Oh my God. Like the camera moves here. The camera's in the back of the car. Camera's in the front of the car. Camera's in the corner. I was like, Jamie Neistat,
like.
Yeah.
He's an animal, man.
Yeah.
He's a true animal. And we had him on the podcast. He was my first guest back in Ireland. Yeah. A great episode, man. Really nice. You should listen to that. Listen to some of my fucking content.
Oh, yeah, man. Jesus. Oh, really? Sorry.
What am I doing this for? Fuck. I don't even care anymore. No, but it had a, do you have, would you say like even with your parents and stuff now, do they understand what you're doing for work and where you're?
Absolutely. Yeah. They're fully, fully supportive. Yeah.
At the start,
they were like, where are you going with this? Where are you going? Okay. And obviously when COVID came around, it kind of, obviously I think everyone that was in social media got a massive boost to kind of, or a kick up the hole more so to pass the time and create more. And then it really took off from there. So now they're fully backing it and I'm very happy, you know, very positive about me.
Do you remember, this is just funny, do you remember, you know, we have a previous history with,
what?
You fucking had sex with my girlfriend, my you know Bloom on the hair products?
Yes.
That's me.
No way.
Yeah, I was the guy who reached out to you and sent you hair products.
We did over things. To Toronto?
Yeah.
No,
were you in Toronto at that time?
I think I was in Toronto, yeah.
Oh, you might have just got back, but I sent them to your gaffer.
And is that still going?
Still me, yeah.
Still going?
No, I'm the content manager and social media manager there.
Will you give me a bit of work out of?
Yeah, I've loaded. Do you want some fucking shit?
Absolutely.
We'll have a chat after this. We need.
Absolutely.
Funny enough, we need UGC creators, so that'd be key.
Oh, happy days. Just turn it around quickly. Yeah, you know,
just making business.
I'll do it here.
Making business moves. For 2024, like this year, what's your number one focus?
My goal from this year, getting the house last year, is to just enjoy this year to the max. I've been to Dubai, I've been to Fuerteventura, I've been to Madrid. I want to get myself out of this country as much as I can this year and then regroup the following year. I've no like really deep plan. Of course, I save an awful lot of money week in, week out. Well, I don't save an awful lot of money, but I'm strict on how I save, I'm strict on my spending. But this year is to enjoy myself. I went through enough stress and I got late of getting the mortgage thing. We got approved and I went over the line and I was like, right, that was too much. And I said to myself, once I get this over the line, I am letting the hair down a little bit and enjoying myself, you know.
Do you want to talk about where you ended up buying a house or anything like that? You don't want to get the area out there?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you where I got a house. Yeah, my mum's mum died and she passed away. And obviously the house is only around the corner from my mum's house.
Okay.
Handy. So location was, obviously situation was absolutely devastating for the family. Obviously. But the house then went into rebate. So obviously we had to wait 9 months after she passed to actually get the house. So that put pressure on us because we had just got approved. So I bought the house with myself and my cousin between us, you know? So I bought them off my nana's family, like my nana's like sons and daughters. So that house went into rebate and like we got approved and then the rebate was like, we were approved till the end of October.
Yeah.
And rebate finished at like 20th of October. So it was like, right, a week. And then after we got approved, I was like,
stress.
I started spending.
Yeah.
I was like, right, the savings gone. Like, let's start spending away here. So there was an awful lot of pressure on that end. But yeah, it's in Dublin. It's north side. It's not a forever home, but it's most definitely a great investment for both of us. And to keep it in the family is quite special.
I'm about to move into my childhood home again.
Yeah.
We kept the house when my parents separated. Sorry. When they separated, we kept the house. We kept it when we moved to Dundrum, as posh as it gets. We kept the house in Knockline, so we're going to move back there. Me and my missus are going to move back there and potentially set up shop there. So
really?
Like,
how's the family?
You're preaching the choir. Yeah, I think so.
Fucking hell.
I think so. All my mates having kids, man.
Yeah, really?
Two mates having kids.
One of them just had a kid. Oh, not just had a kid, sorry. The baby's due. Any day now. They had a baby shower last week. So I'd say any day.
Great name, yeah. Sam. A great male or female. Very, very solid name. A hero's name. Yes, it's mad. I'm in that phase now where I've got my mates, I just want to go for a coffee and they come in, they've got prams and shit. And it's wild. Yeah.
And you're raring to go for a few points then after?
I am, yeah, always. Always. But like there is, I can't wait to be a dad, man. I kind of love the, I'm looking forward to that period.
Yeah, like, I am as well.
I don't want to jump in too quickly. And so like both of them have been like, hey, listen, there's no rush. When like they've had kids and they go, listen, it's tough. Like,
yeah.
So you need to have.
And it's the pressure then of the backing as well of having the kid and make sure the kid is going to be stable. As you're going to be stable. You're still going to have the balance of life. You're going to be able to look after the kids financially.
I feel like your parents will row in 100%.
Really? Yeah.
I feel like your mom will be like, yeah, throw them in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got another one coming, ma.
Well, I've rated it. We'll throw it towards the end.
We're up to six. No, but I feel like, do you feel like in terms of parenting and stuff like that, wild concept, but, in terms of like raising a kid now in this kind of generation, what do you think about like phones and shit like that when kids are growing up? Are you going to have to police that a bit, find the balance between it?
Find the balance definitely as well. But it's hard because you don't want it like, obviously you want to make sure he has the right group of friends first. And then just keep track of the phones. I think there's an awful lot going on with bullying online with the phones and then obviously all sorts of other stuff going on. But you don't want to be the only parent not letting them have a phone and not letting them have a phone till a certain age and stuff like that. So it's just being very strict from the get-go of what's right and what's wrong and just making sure they're very clued in of kind of what's going on.
It's a ton of pressure. I didn't think about, like, when was the last time when you were nine up to fucking 15, like when you were a kid, when were you thinking about sexuality and shit? I wasn't thinking about girls and shit till I was about 13, 14, 17.
That's because you're like, from the south side, man.
No, no, we get chicks. I get it. You guys know. We do absolutely fine over here.
I'd say the age. What did you say? 9 to 15?
But no, but like, do you remember just when, like, I wasn't worried about, like, kids can go on TikTok now and see just mad sexualized shit. But when I was younger, like, someone might have porn in a folder on their block phone, that the real blurry thing. Yeah, you'd be like, oh, whoa, when you're like 12.
Yeah.
But you're not seeing, like, full HD quality, whatever the fuck you want to see. Dwarves and all the crazy shit going on. Like, genuinely, like, you see the most maddest shit, and it's just mad to think your kid, if they have a phone, they can just be like.
It's like when we were, like, say, when you were 15 having the phone, it's like that's just been brought back, I'd say, like, 3 years to this, like, day and age.
But
now.
Even we weren't seeing that shit. You might see a parrot, like, a pair of tits, and be like, whoa.
No, not at that.
I don't like them.
Sure, you wouldn't really. I wouldn't have a phone.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember that period of, like, when everyone's about 14, they'd have a ton of folders on their phone, and they'd have one porn video hidden inside, like, 15 different folders. So if your ma came trucking through it, you'd have to know. You have to know the way
which
through.
Which ones to get rid of.
Yeah. They'd be like, don't go in there. It's just games. It's just games. A question. We're fucking crazy enough. We're about to wrap up, man. This is flown. A question I like to ask all the guys I have on is, as an entrepreneur, what would you say your biggest strength and your biggest weakness is as an entrepreneur?
Weakness, it'd be the time management, I'd say, for myself. Mm. Time management and dealing with stress. Mm. And then along with time management and planning, I'd say. Sometimes I don't know what direction I'm going in, where I'm going. As you said, what I did today, it's just chaotic. Mm. So I'd like to be able to deal with that a little bit better as a pro and as a con, to be able to just understand where I'm going, plan the days out in advance. But before what I'm doing, I don't really know how that's possible, because you don't know where you're going. You don't know if you're going Southside, you don't know if you're going Dundalk, you don't know if you're going Swords, you don't know.
I know if I'm going Southside.
Of course, yeah. I know. Of course.
It's interesting you say that. Everyone's pretty much said the same shit, man, to be honest. Like, I think the best thing with me doing this podcast, I get to talk to a load of successful people in different areas. Luke Joyce going to do couple million quid his business this year, doing really well. He's saying the same shit. I don't know which way I'm going. There's shit coming on over here. Everyone seems to, no one's been like, no, I'm pretty solid all around. Everyone's feeling the same stuff. So
then when you speak to someone else that's like a really successful entrepreneur or whatever, and you speak to someone higher than you, and they say, just step back and have a look at it. And I'm like, how do you do that then? How do you just step back and do you take a few days off and step back? Because I can't do that. I can't take days off.
Your phone will be blowing up.
Exactly. Oh, no, and so in my head, I'll be spinning saying, I need to do some work.
I've got a burrito up here waiting to be eaten. Get up here. You probably get this fucking question mad. So I'm not going to ask it to you in the same way. But what food places, even this year, what food places stood out to you and been like, this was a really great experience? Obviously, you have a ton, but is there one where you're like, this is something I haven't seen as much of that I think has legs?
One comes to head straight away. I was saying to my family when I was on holidays, a place called Adobo.
Never heard of it.
Adobo. You'll have to make the trip. Let me know when you're coming over and I'll get it for you. Adobo. It's like a Mexican trailer that's outside. It's on the Malahide Road, so it's over the north side. It's on your way basically out to Malahide. But
Malahide, yeah. I was about to say
Malahide.
I could say something real posh and be like, I used to play cricket out in Malahide.
Don't tell me you did that as well, did you?
Fucking cricketers get fucking chicks.
I knew you were posh when you had a lanyard on straight away.
Yeah, it's how I get into the fucking building, man. They don't have key fobs paying the hole.
Anyway, that Adobo place, Mexican, husband and wife doing it.
Love that.
And you order your food. There's no Just Eat, there's no one, you order your food and you wait about half an hour, 40 minutes for it. Mm. But there's no issue waiting for it, unless you're absolutely left, but bring a snack with you. But the quality and the standard and the taste of the food is next level. You get tacos, enchiladas, burritos, loaded nachos, and it's just the coriander, pico de gallo, pulled chicken, loaded cheese. It is beautiful.
Fuck.
Honestly.
Yeah. And do they have a... In terms of is that right up your street in terms of food, or are you kind of similar to me and kind of you love pizzas, burgers,
pizza, burgers, all meat, that kind of shit. To be honest with you,
do you
meat.
Fuck with fish?
I do. I love fish. Yeah, I'm not mad on sushi though.
Yeah,
not mad on sushi. It just doesn't appeal to me, especially if I go to a sushi place and they give you so many different types of sushi and you're just
you're fucking wasted in there. You're teriyaki chicken.
Should we have a rack of ribs or something?
If I ever see you doing a sushi video,
rat me out, that's shy.
It's just Darren. Just Darren eating them, loving them with chopsticks.
But no, that's the only place that comes to mind that I'd really recommend, because it's a place that was struggling. They're only open Fridays and Saturdays. And I went out there, did a review for them, and I've been back 3 times already. It's that good. Genuinely, it's fantastic.
What's the
What kind of
wrap on this? Is there when you're going into different spots, do you get a ton of appreciation from the people that you have in terms of thank you for coming and showcasing our work and things like that?
Absolutely.
Because it's not, if you put this into perspective, the marketing they'd have to do in terms of spend, if they're not doing social media marketing and stuff like that. And there's a very limited amount of people they can do that with in Dublin.
Yeah.
There's maybe 3 guys come to name that I don't even think they do it to the level you do it. Mm-hmm. And you have multiple platforms to do it on. My voice just broke. It's this or they go on the paper. Or they pay for a TV ad, or they try to do their social media themselves. Yeah. And these people are fucking, as you said, unbelievable, cooks, unbelievable, running a business, but maybe they don't have the social media.
They lack that side of it. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
So when you come in, are they wow, thank you so much for just showcasing the business a little bit? Do you get a ton of that?
Yeah, and that's what really gives you a nice, really a proper, get in the car buzzing when you hear you should have seen, we sold out this last week after you did that. And then a text goes such a long way. You'd be absolutely buzzing. You'd want to screenshot it and put it in your story. We had to close early here. So that's what it's all about. And it's help a local. And that's what people always give out to me on TikTok, saying you never give a bad review. I'm not a reviewer. I'm not reviewing the food. I'm showcasing. Showcasing the food. And people just can't get their heads around that, just because they see other people reviewing the food. If I start reviewing the food, I'm copying someone else reviewing the food. So I'm in my own lane here. I'm always going to say something positive about the business, because I feel that they've started from something here. They see some sort of drive, some sort of passion behind it. So I'm always going to support that and back that and fair play to them, you know, wherever it gets them. Yeah.
I'm surprised that in terms of like a long-term gig, you do the travel a bit, you go down to different cities. Do you try to accept offers from like different places around Ireland to showcase as much as you can?
Going to Galway tomorrow, down and back, one place.
One day,
down and back.
What are you whipping around in Skoda outside?
Skoda outside.
Smooth as,
but I'd say it absolutely hates me. Yeah, it hates me. I have it a year and I think there's 28,000 kilometers on it. I don't even have it a year. I got it for my birthday in August last year. 28,000 kilometers.
If you had one thing, do you like to splash on, if you were going to splash on something, do you like a nice car? Do you like having a couple of nice bit of clothes, not clothes, pair of shoes?
No. Not really. I like my watches. Obviously I love my car. But it's not too flashy.
I was saying this to Luke as well. Luke came in big fuck off Mercedes, you know, big Jeep thing, but he had a tent box on the top and he's like, I need this for work. So I wouldn't even see that as, if you're a fucking scientist and you're driving a Lamborghini, you're like, man likes a car.
Yeah.
But now when it's for work, I'd need a smooth ride down Galway up and back same day, man.
Exactly.
In my Honda Civic.
Oh, stop. Do you want to swap?
Oh, that thing's on its last legs. But yeah, 100%. 100%. It's been fucking great chatting to you, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Flew in. I loved every second of it. Thank you so much.
Man, every inch of an hour, man. We're going back into it. Lads, thank you so much for listening. It's all in the hips. I appreciate you coming. We'll go round to the end of season 5, folks. So just fucking get involved and subscribe to the channel, will you? What am I doing this for? Yeah? What am I doing?
Subscribe.
What am I fucking doing? Anyway, Connor, thank you for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. Lads, I'll see you in the next one. Trying to get Wheelo on if he doesn't bail again. Fuck you, Wheelo. All right. Later, folks. Talk to you.
Yes, sir.